Hello, this is your host, Belle Shavey speaking. Welcome to today's episode of the Morrison Family Center for Student Wellbeing's podcast, WellCat 101. The purpose of this podcast is to give students an opportunity to share their college experiences, their advice, or interesting anecdotes for listeners who are students, staff, parents, etc. Each episode topic will be related to student well-being and or mental health through the lens of positivity and growth. We hope you enjoy this episode of WellCat 101. Hello there, and welcome back to WellCat 101, the student-led podcast centered around topics relating to student mental health and well-being. I am so excited to be back, and our listeners are having a great back-to-school season. After our four-part series this summer with staff members, I am excited to have some super awesome student guests back on the podcast now that fall semester is in full swing. Today here we have two members of the Exercise is Medicine Student Association. Here we have Daniel Funk and Sydney Robbins. Why don't you guys introduce yourselves? Tell us a little about who you are.
My name is Daniel Funk. I'm a senior here at K-State in kinesiology and integrative physiology. I'm from the Topeka, Kansas area, and I'm looking to go into physical therapy.
I'm Sydney Robbins. I'm the president of Exercise is Medicine Student Association. I'm a junior in kinesiology and physical therapy here at K-State. I am from Kansas City, Missouri.
Awesome. Some of my roommates are from Kansas City, Missouri. Where are you, like, what area?
Well, I always say I'm from Kansas City because nobody knows where Green Valley, Missouri is, but it's like 20 minutes outside.
So okay.
Pretty close.
Yeah.
Kansas City Metro.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I know my roommates are from like Lee's Summit area.
Oh, yeah. Over there.
Cool. So today we're going to be talking about, from the student perspective, about how exercise is beneficial both mentally and physically, as well as talk about like resources, how to get involved, what exercise is medicine is, because I'm going to be honest, I read a little bit about it, but I am an outsider, so I want to know all about the, you know, benefits and the organizations and resources and all of the things. We did an episode over the summer with Dr. Campbell about how health is mental and physical, and we talked about a lot of the physical effects of loneliness and about how exercise can help with that, but we didn't necessarily dive in into how physical movement and exercise benefits the body and mind. So I would love to talk about that today, but before we get too far into it, we have a silly little intro question. And so the intro question icebreaker for today is, what job would you be absolutely terrible at? I can go first to let you guys think about an answer, because I am really, really bad at making decisions. So if it was a job that was just deciding like where to eat for dinner, I would be horrible at that job. I would genuinely be very bad at that job because I don't know. I'm such a nonchalant person with tiny decisions. If it was, and this is a made up job, or maybe it's not, I don't know. Maybe there is a job where you have to make a bunch of tiny decisions that don't really affect your future. But if I was purely like just a decision maker for something, I don't know if I could do it.
I love that answer. I'll go a little bit more practical with mine. I'm in physics right now. I'd be a terrible physicist. Not my strong suit, but we're making it through.
We were just talking about 8 a.m. physics. 8:30?
Yes.
Physics. That's oof.
Yep.
I don't know if I could do that.
Monday through Thursday starts with physics class, so.
Pretty much.
That's a fun time.
Every single day, Monday through Thursday?
Yep.
Braver than me.
I think I would be a terrible eye doctor. I hate eyes. I don't know what it is. I think they're so creepy. They're so weird. I could never do it. I was just telling somebody about this the other day. Like, I can't do eyeballs.
That's true. I can relate to you on that. Every time I've been to the eye doctor, they have the posters on the walls of like what the back of the eyeball looks like.
And it looks crazy.
Shout out to optometrists.
Couldn't do it.
That's so silly. Okay. I love that. So now we know the jobs we would all be terrible at. And the good news is we don't have to do them. Awesome. So diving into today's topic, exercise as medicine. Over the summer, this podcast recorded with multiple guests discussing how loneliness affects the mind and body. And Dr. Campbell talked a lot about that. But we thought it would be interesting to have a student perspective about not necessarily loneliness, but how exercise is beneficial for mind and body. So how would you guys define the concept of exercise as medicine?
I would say exercise as medicine is essentially the idea that exercise can improve health in the same way that many people think of drug prescriptions. There's a great quote by Dr. Robert Butler, and it says, "If exercise could be packaged into a pill, it would be the most widely distributed and beneficial prescription on the world." And I think that just kind of encapsulates the idea that a lot of times we're looking for this quick fix, this thing in a bottle that can solve our problems, but exercise can be viewed kind of in the same lens. It can provide some of the same interactions with hormones and everything in our body, and essentially do the exact same thing that a lot of drugs do, but in a much less harmful way.
Yeah. As a kinesiology major, we're constantly we're being preached to about all these benefits. Like in every single kinesiology related course, they remind you of all the amazing benefits. And I mean, there's the huge ones, like there's reducing your risk of cardiovascular disease, of diseases like COPD, all these chronic diseases that can be potentially deadly. And I mean, going back to kind of like a student perspective, there's also that reduced risk for anxiety, for depression. It reduces stress. It makes you think clearer. It helps your memory. It makes you a better student. So
that is so cool. I love the analogy of a prescription, almost like a pill or something that you would take every day. So that's important, having movement in your body and maybe not necessarily exercise, but just movement every single day. How have you seen that movement or exercise in your daily life helps you as a student?
I always feel like I wake up and go to class much better if I have a workout beforehand. And even if it's just walking to class, just being having that 15 minutes of activity right before I sit down to like wake me up always, I feel like, makes my day so much better. And even at the end of the day, I feel like I sleep better if I have a workout somewhere in the day. So
absolutely, I would agree 100%. I feel like I'm mentally sharper. I'm much more awake. I have a better attitude going into the day. It just kind of gives you a little platform to launch from, which is usually what people need in the morning, especially if you're going to 8:30 physics.
Definitely. Yeah. I know so many people that are, I don't want to say afraid of starting to exercise or afraid. I know that I am somebody that I don't know if I could get up at 6 a.m. and go run. I have roommates that do, and bless them. I'm sure they feel so much better after they do, but I don't know, just like finding a way to kind of break into that habit of exercise and movement is sometimes a little bit intimidating. One, because I know from personal experience, sometimes I feel like I'm doing it wrong. I'm like, I don't know. Nobody really taught me how to exercise or what is good for me. You just kind of have to try it. And that kind of makes me nervous because I don't want to, you know, waste my time. As a student, I have very limited time, so I don't want to waste my time. I don't want to, you know, exercising can sometimes, you want to push yourself and you want to, you know, running is not the most fun for some people. And it also kind of feels competitive. Like I probably cannot run for as long or as fast as my roommate that runs every morning. You know what I mean? So kind of thinking about that, how do you find the motivation as a student to move every day? I know you kind of talked about, I mean, you have to walk to classes. Like movement is built into being a college student, especially on a campus like K-State, where it is a very walkable campus and you have access to resources like the rec and intramural sports and things like that. But as far as finding time in your day specifically to integrate movement or more, you know, specifically exercise, how do you find the motivation or the time to incorporate that?
I actually schedule all my physical activity into my day. If I don't do that, it's probably not going to get done. And some days it doesn't get done because, you know, being a student, working, it's a busy life, but I have to schedule it. And I'm someone that very much goes by my planner. So if it's in there, it's going to happen. So you just have to prioritize it.
Yeah.
Yeah. First off, I want to make the point, your comment about, you know, not knowing how to do it or exercise versus movement. That's one of the biggest misconceptions that we get told about in all of our classes, mm-hmm. is that little bit of movement, that walking to the class, that is exercise. Count it. It doesn't have to be for hour periods lifting weight in the gym. You know, every moment matters. especially when you are really busy and you can't find those hour blocks to get that exercise in. But for me personally, I would go kind of along the lines of Sydney. You know, you kind of, you got to make that conscious effort to get it in there. A lot of my activity just comes from walking around throughout the day. You know, whether it be work, walking to class, choosing to stand or walk around while you're studying. I mean, there's little things that you can do that can make a big difference. Also, if you are somebody that enjoys going to the rec or running, find a friend to do it with. It makes it so much easier. You can just treat it as your social hour as well. You know, that's what I do. We have a couple friends that go in the morning to the rec, and it's a great time. You know, you wake up in the morning and you're like, I don't really want to do this. But then you're like, oh, well, I get to go see my three best friends. Now it's all better.
Yeah, and then that way you have somebody to kind of keep you accountable of, you know, you're going to, when it's by yourself, nobody is going to tell you, nobody's going to ask, hey, where were you if you weren't at the rec? And so I do, yeah, that social aspect is definitely a good point of you can use it in two ways to benefit your well-being with social connection and exercise. And also I feel like, especially if you go with people that are positive and can uplift you, it can also maybe push you to, if you have a goal of, oh, I want to be able to, you know, run for this long, or I want to be able to go to the gym even for this long, or play basketball for this long. If you have friends that are also wanting you to achieve that goal, that puts more pressure, but it's good pressure to achieve the things that you want to achieve and make you feel better about it.
I feel like that social aspect kind of helps with the fear that surrounds it too. Like, I started getting really into fitness my sophomore year of high school, and I was absolutely like terrified to go to the gym as a little 15-year-old, but I actually started taking like group fitness yoga classes with my cousins, and they had never done anything like that either. So we all probably looked really silly, but we were silly looking together, and that definitely helps with getting into it, getting started, especially if you're a little nervous too.
Yeah, one of the main things to keep in mind too is everybody has to start somewhere. I mean, it sounds like a cliche, but like even the world-class distance runners at one point were bad at running. I mean, whether it was when they were 10 or 25, you know, everybody has to have a beginning phase where it does really stink to go out there and get started and you feel like you're not going anywhere with it. But it's those habits over time that just build up exponentially. And then you start to have a passion for it. You enjoy it. It doesn't become such a burden. And that's when you really break through into a healthier lifestyle.
Yeah. I mean, I can speak from personal experience. I did sports up until I was in high school. And then kind of, you know, throughout high school, was active, but I kind of dropped a lot of my, like, actual working out and deliberate exercise. But then when I came to college and had access to a rec center and was in charge of my own schedule, I really did want to prioritize physical movement. Obviously, again, physical movement is inherent with college. I was walking from the dorms to my classes, to my car, to wherever. But then I initially wanted to start going to the rec just for the mental health benefits. I was like, I just want more movement in my life. And so I think that that is also a perfectly valid reason to go to the rec, even if you're just not even wanting to reach a goal. I went in very much afraid and didn't know how to use any of the machines. And I was like, I'm just going to walk on a treadmill because I know how to use a treadmill. And I am going to use the Stairmaster and that's it. And I only maybe went for like 30 minutes to an hour, three times a week. But even just doing that and finally breaking out of my comfort zone and going and doing it made me more familiar with the rec. I was able to then kind of branch out and look at the other machines and be like, I don't know how to use that. I'm going to figure out how. And there's lots of resources and, you know, things that you can watch to figure out how to use those things. But I, even just taking that first step of wanting to incorporate movement into your life, even just going to the rec for 30 minutes to do one thing, again, counts as movement. I like the point you made about literally, you know, walking can count as your exercise.
I think it's a good point to make too, that generally speaking, people aren't that scary. If you're at the rec and you don't know how to use a machine or you need a spot or something, just ask somebody. Most of the people there are ready and willing to help, and they'll probably be flattered that you even came up and asked them for help. So don't let that fear be the something that stops you from getting started.
And something that Exercises Medicine Student Association is kind of trying to do is getting people to not be afraid of starting, you know, their fitness journey or whatever you want to call it. Like, we have an event yet to be scheduled in October where we're going to have an exercises medicine night at the rec. And our goal is to get people to be comfortable going, to ask us questions if they want to know how something works, because we all have a background and maybe know how some of this scary looking equipment works or how to sign up for group fitness. That's something that we're going to try to incorporate a little more, is getting these people that, like I said, might be scared to go, or maybe they don't have people to go with. We will be there to kind of start that for them.
Yeah. And you guys are so friendly. Like, they should not be scared. And those events and those organizations will be plugged in the description of this episode. So be sure to check that out. I want to kind of talk about something a little bit more specific with work, like working out. I don't know. What kind of fun things do you guys do to make your workouts better? Like, do you have a good playlist that you listen to? Do you have like a routine that you do beforehand? Like, what are some, I don't know, cool things to integrate into a workout routine that make it fun and enjoyable?
I always listen to music. I have multiple workout playlists because, you know, sometimes the vibe's different every day. Something else is just finding physical activity that you enjoy. There are so many methods that, I mean, so many things that you could do. I love hiking, so I love going to Konza. It's like my favorite place in Manhattan. So that is something that like I enjoy to do, and it's great physical activity. And I mean, if you like Pilates, then make Pilates your thing. Or if you like, I feel like there's so many crazy fitness classes that I see on like social media, like the bungee fitness classes. Some people like that. And you know what? That's exercise. So if that's something you enjoy, make that your exercise.
Yeah. Besides my thing, my main thing is just going with friends. I think that's a great way to just kind of break the barrier there. But as far as diversifying activity, I'm a huge sports fan. I love pretty much every sport. And so I like to kind of keep my options open and mix it up. You know, if a friend invites me to go rock climbing, sure, let's go rock climbing. Or maybe it is a weight session in the morning, or playing pickup basketball, or you know, whatever it is. There's tons of intramurals here at K-State too. Shout out to the rec for that.
Yeah.
I love playing intramurals. You know, the past couple springs, I've done a co-rec softball team. It's a great time. You know, just get your friends out there and have fun during the evening, and maybe move a little bit while you're at it. I've done flag football before. That's a little bit more intense, but is, again, a great time and some great movement during the evenings, where a lot of us kind of suffer with movement the most too. You know, we're in class all day and then our evenings get busy and you're like, oh, well, now I don't have time for exercise in the evening either. You know, that's a great way to kind of incorporate that into your schedule, as Sydney was saying earlier. You know, if that's your double social hour with your friends and your activity, then it's a great study break. You know, go play your intramural game at 7 p.m., go back, and I promise you'll be a lot more productive than you were going to be if you just sat there for that hour anyway.
Absolutely. And I feel like it's a good way to make friends in real sports. Have you guys made friends?
Absolutely. It's a great way to just meet people. You'll be astonished how many people you recognize too, just being out on the intramural fields. You're like, oh, I had them in a class, or I saw them on campus the other day. You know, it's a fantastic way to meet people.
Definitely something for first-year students or transfer students to try if they are wanting to get involved in some sort of activity. And I think that there is definitely a shift from when you play are all about sports in high school, but you're not a D1 football player or a D1 basketball player. Come to college and all of a sudden you are the one that is in charge of making sure that you have physical movement in your life, whereas sports and being involved in high school sports used to take up that time. So I think that that is super cool that K-State has intramural sports available for that. How do you get involved? Like, how do you sign up for intramural sports?
Just through the rec website. They have a sign up for all sorts of different intramurals. There's kind of different ones that go during different seasons. You do sometimes have to be ready and kind of on the signups. some of the sports have limited capacity. But I think the biggest thing with the intramurals is be the friend who starts it. A lot of people are afraid to be the first one that signs up. Oh, what if I don't get my team filled? What if I can't make the day? Whatever. They allow roster limits well above the players you need to play. Just ask your group of friends to play with you. And generally, everybody's going to be excited to do it. They're just waiting for someone to take that first step.
And if you don't have a group to do intramurals with, Exercises Medicine Student Association is going to start making intramural teams here pretty soon. So keep an eye out for that.
So cool. Yeah. Talk about that a little bit. Promote this. Again, this is an opportunity for you guys to kind of plug your organization. So tell me a little bit about Exercises Medicine.
Yeah, just basic club meeting stuff. We meet every second Tuesday of the month. We just have a general like body meeting. We'll bring in physical activity related professionals. I think in October, we've got somebody from Meadowlark. We've got somebody from Ascension Via Christi. We have one more person. Who is it?
Scott Deegan from Lafine.
Yes, from Lafine. Some really amazing people that have a lot of really great information to share. But aside from club meetings, we're doing monthly meetup and moves. We have our first one coming up where basically we're just going to get together and we're going to be active. You know, we are Exercises Medicine, so we should promote exercise. And I think that's the best way for us to do that is to get everybody together and be physically active.
Yeah.
Another one of those great events that's coming up here is on Thursday, October 16th. There's going to be a Wildcat Walk for Health here on campus. And so that's going to be kind of in the middle of the day at noon. First Lady Sally Linton is going to lead us kind of on a walk around campus. Just another way to take a break from your class, get a little activity moving. That's going to lead up right to our Wildcat Pause Day, which is another great little mental health break. So be on the lookout for a lot of these events in October. Exercises Medicine is going to be, we're getting our hands in a lot of baskets in October. So there will be a lot of opportunities for activity, for involvement. And if you see us about at one of the events, come up and say hi. Ask about the organization or just general tips on classes, how to get moving, you know, whatever it is. I promise we're not that scary.
And I think that October being the time that you guys are having your hand in all these baskets is a really good thing because I feel like the changing of the seasons and as October approaches, I typically, especially for, I found my freshman year and first year students, I know RAs know about this as well. Typically like week seven happens in October and about mid-October is when things start getting a little bit tough. Classes are, you know, midterms are happening. Classes are in full swing. You can't drop classes anymore. And things are kind of getting real. It also gets darker way earlier. And I know that seasonal depression, seasonal affective disorder, and things like that are starting to kind of arise. So I think that is the perfect time to promote exercise as being one of the ways that you take care of yourself, especially during times like that. Talking about, you know, intramurals and that exercise is more than just lifting weights or running, what are some of the most creative ways that you guys incorporate exercise into your life that isn't maybe an hour at the rec or, you know, I know you said hiking, but like, I don't know, what are some ways that you can incorporate it in between classes or during your day?
In between classes, I mean, some of the buildings on campus have elevators. Take the stairs. Like, I know that might sound a little cliche, but take the stairs. It's going to be better for you. If you have a job that allows you to be physically active, utilize that. I work with kids, so I'm on my feet running around constantly. If you have that opportunity to be active at your occupation, take that opportunity.
Yeah, I would echo the work thing for sure. My job is the same way. I'm up and moving all the time. I'm lifting stuff, setting stuff up. It's a great way to not even realize that you're being active. You know, I look back on my days and I'm like, okay, how active was I really today? And you're generally a lot more active than you think you are, whether that is just walking to class or using the stairs or being active at your job. It's not necessarily the major ways of activity that are typically pointed out that make up a lot of your activity during the day. It's the little stuff that you might not even think of doing that really makes the big difference. And if you can incorporate those small differences throughout your day, then you'll see your activity level skyrocket.
Yeah. No, that's so, I've never really thought about that before. I know it, I work at Lafine. Whoa, big shocker. I work with the Wellbeing Center, obviously. And yeah, thinking about how much I have to walk back and forth from different places in the union or just on campus to deliver resources to people or to go pick up things or to go make copies. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe paying a little bit more attention to that of how much I am actually up and moving or, you know, taking the stairs instead of the elevator up to my workplace every day. That's so, I don't know why that just kind of blew my mind a little bit. And I want to talk a little bit about what kind of goes along with this, but like accessible ways to exercise. You know, not everybody is able-bodied. We know this. But what are some ways that you can do seated exercise or exercise that maybe is not as aggressive or as time-consuming as getting up and walking or using the stairs or running?
There are a lot of ways that you can kind of modify exercises to make them more accessible. Like there's sit to stands where literally you're just standing up out of a chair. But, and while it may look simple for some people, it may not be for other people. And that's a great way to, you know, help with those stabilizing muscles. And that could be really important for some people, or even just doing exercises, but taking like the weighted aspect out of it, doing body weight exercises. Or even doing things like aquatics where your body's a little more supported and maybe those movements will be a lot more comfortable for you if you're like in water.
Yeah, you can incorporate it other ways too. I mean, if you know you have to sit down and study for a test, get a yoga ball or something. Mm-hmm. Sit on the yoga ball. You don't think about it, but you're engaging so many more stabilizing muscles that you're almost getting a workout at the same time you're studying. And that can be a difference maker if you don't have the time to incorporate a separate workout.
And there are also lots of ways to do exercises without having equipment. Like I said, bodyweight exercises. Or I even thought of like, if you have Just Dance, that is such good cardio. Like maybe we should do that for a club meeting. It's just, it's a great way to get up and get moving. Like I think they even have a setting on the game called like sweat mode or something where you can put that on. It'll just give you like shuffle play of songs and dances for you to do. And it's really good cardio. It does make a difference.
Yes. Dancing. Flashback to having sleepovers as a kid when, I think lots of Just Dances are available on YouTube for free.
Yes.
So even if you don't have a Wii or a Just Dance,
set up your laptop.
Yes. Oh, that's so, I'm so glad you mentioned that. I love dancing. That's so fun. But yeah, that, all the things you said, that was so, I don't know, informational and helpful. Is there any other things? We're kind of approaching time a little bit right now. Is there anything else you guys would like to mention before it's time to go?
If you want to join us for an Exercises Medicine Student Association meeting, please do. We are not a major specific club by any means. We want to promote physical activity to everybody. So if you want to join, our meetings are every second Tuesday of the month in Justin Hall. In the fall, they're going to be in 163, and in the spring, they're going to be in 247. So please, please join us. We do gift card drawings every meeting, and we also have snacks, if that helps.
And those will be at 7 p.m.
Yes, that is important information as well.
Well, awesome. Thank you so, so much for being guests on the podcast. I love learning about things that I don't know a whole lot about. I honestly, I'm going to admit this. I didn't know about exercise as medicine before talking and discussing about topics that I wanted for the podcast. But topics of talking about how exercise is beneficial for mind and body, how health is physiological and mental and physical, is a topic of interest that I find a lot of people sort of understand, but having it concretely defined and having real applicable ways that they can incorporate movement into their everyday life is something that, you know, there are things that I didn't even think about, like movement in the workplace or modifying movement to be more accessible or even just facing your fear or wanting to learn how to use a machine. Those are things that everybody kind of experiences. And so having that relatability and that student perspective is something that I am so happy that we explored on the podcast today. So thank you both so much for being such wonderful guests. If our listeners would like to know more about the resources mentioned in this podcast, they will all be linked in the show notes down in the description. If you would like to know about how to get involved and active on campus and more about our wonderful guests, those will also be down in the information provided. Thank you so much for listening, and I will see you next time.